Here we go with the John Curley, Sherry Ellicker show. You coming along, a combination of newstainment, which I think, Andrew, the name escapes me. It's a word we came up with on our own.
Right. It's a news and entertainment. And you just said it. It's newstainment.
Newstainment. Diving in. All right. Well, I went a little bit of a thing with my tin hat. I had the tin hat on yesterday. Talking about 702 and FISA and NSA and the FBI. Sherry's pushing back on this, saying, well, I don't think we have anything to worry about. And I was like, well, it gets down to whether you trust the government. And then a listener. It's always amazing we have them.
Isn't it?
Especially a guy like this. Retired FBI and CIA intelligence officer Ted Turner was listening, I assume, over the internet. Or perhaps he was listening through a shoe phone or something, because that's what those guys do at the FBI. I've seen that. He joins us on the phone now. Ted, thank you, first of all, for listening. And secondly, help illuminate everybody as to what I might have gotten wrong, either intentionally, or what I don't understand about NSA. I know that the FISA 702 was to be every 4 years they have to sort of vote on it again and bring it back up again. They've now made it every 2 years it gets looked at. And it's basically allowing the funding of NSA so that it can protect America by helping us from foreign adversaries and collecting data so that they can spy on some of our enemies in this country and overseas. Is that just generally the idea of what NSA and this is starting to do, this thing does?
So, John, thanks for having me on.
Okay.
I'm a loyal listener. I was just cycling while I listened to your podcast yesterday.
Okay.
And it's a little broader than you explained.
Okay.
So what FISA allows, it allows a legal avenue for U.S. intelligence services to spy on the people who are spying on us.
Okay.
So you, and I know you're a man of the world, so they're bad people.
Yes.
In the United States.
Yes.
They're not all at the Russian embassy.
Mm-hmm.
Some are at the Chinese embassy. Some may be Chinese graduate students at University of Washington, 700 at last count.
Uh-huh.
So we need an ability to go in and look at their phone logs, tap their phones, read their emails, because they're trying to do bad things to the United States.
Okay. I'll give
and
you that.
And that's what FISA allows.
Mm-hmm.
So FISA is not this big thing where we're doing that to U.S. citizens, for example. However, you're going to say, well, wasn't there this big brouhaha in like 2010, 2012, I can't remember,
mm-hmm.
where the NSA was vacuuming up U.S. citizens' information along with foreign adversary information.
Right.
Yeah, they should have told someone they were doing that. And they've admitted a mea culpa on that. But generally, FISA is very tightly controlled.
Mm-hmm.
It is there's a FISA court of federal judges that passes they pass sentence on the FISA. They say, yeah, that's justified. You may do X to that foreign national who's living here,
mm-hmm.
or X to that diplomat who travels between here and Beijing. So FISA, there's no way to have a counterintelligence mission in the U.S. without some kind of FISA. And what FISA does is allows the government to control it so it doesn't get out of hand. Although you can ask the next question, which is coming about how it has gotten out of hand.
Right. FISA court is a secret court. So start from the very beginning. 1952, they set up NSA, and the secret term for it is never say anything. It was not done through Congress. No one approved it. It was just simply this group was going to spy and protect the country. Then after 9/11, how did that happen? We've got to do something. At that point, NSA gets fully funded because we never want this to happen again. And now they start collecting all data. They grab it all. Snowden in 2013 says, hey, everybody, look at this. The government has been spying on everybody. Yes, it's collecting everybody's data. And then they sift through it to find the bad guy. But some of your stuff might get collected as well. You see how Verizon was ordered to turn over data. So Snowden makes it all public. And then John Brenner has to come, or Brad Brenner comes on and goes, well, yeah, we're not spying. And then we find out he lied to Congress, but that doesn't matter. Perjury doesn't apply to this guy. So we have this giant system that's gathering all detail. And then there's this thing called TAO, which is the Tailored Access Operation, which is, if you think of the big net, which is NSA, then TAO is the smaller one. Then they go in there and they get exactly what they want. My question to you, after working in these agencies, why was the amendment that was offered that got voted down, which was, why not apply for a warrant? Why not go to FISA and say, hey, we want a warrant to spy on these things? Why did they strike that down so they can continue to sweep in and violate, as I see, people's First and Fourth Amendment? Where's the Constitution in all this?
So remember, we're dealing with foreign nationals here.
Right.
Foreign nationals.
They don't have constitutional rights.
It's a murky area.
Yes.
So the people living in this country are considered U.S. persons.
Mm-hmm.
But if they work for a foreign government, or terrorist organization, the U.S. person protections can fall away if the FISA court agrees.
Okay.
And so that's the important thing, is that I will say, and then let's see if I can say this, I will say that before the NSA stopped vacuuming up all the data, we got wonderful leads from NSA on foreign nationals who were tied to terrorist organizations who wanted to do harm to Americans.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, we stopped getting those. So I know of no instances where NSA data was used to persecute American citizens.
Okay.
Maybe there is one. I don't know. But at the same time, you hear about the Patriot Act, right?
Right.
Oh, it's horrible. It's they want to know what you checked out of the library. In 2014, the FBI had used the Patriot Act 14 times only to find out what people had checked out of libraries. So this is not the slippery slope you think it is. I will say, though, I agree that it could be in some parts of the Trump administration. They did not use it, but FISA was used incorrectly for political reasons. There's no question.
Right.
So that's why there's so many controls on it.
You want to believe. It's this idea that, listen, for your own protection, we may or may not violate your First and Fourth Amendment, but it's for your own good, because for temporarily, we're going to possibly violate. We're going to remove your constitutional rights because it's important for us to be able to sweep up all this information. We had seen how the FBI corrupted by lying to the FISA court with Kevin Kleinsmith, he intentionally manipulated the email and sent it to the FISA court. And then the FISA court also told that the Steele dossier was perfectly legitimate, although the FBI knew it was a pile of crap, but used that to spy on Trump. My point to Sherry yesterday was, I don't trust the FBI, and I don't trust the national security. I don't trust those guys because for political reasons, they can, quote unquote, protect democracy.
Okay, so let me not respond to that directly.
Okay.
Let me tell you a story.
Okay.
So I'm very good friends with an FBI senior legal counsel who was in charge of FISA from a specific FBI office. So he had to, every 3 years, he had to get audited by FBI headquarters to make sure he was doing FISA correctly. And this is after 3 years, he would have, I don't know, 20, 30 FISAs he's approved and have gone forward. And they would find like one mistake on a FISA.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you should have said this. You know, his birth date really wasn't 1958. It was 1960. You really screwed up here.
Uh-huh.
That's where the level of audit was as far as the FBI was concerned. And he'd feel horrible for 3 or 4 months after that.
Mm-hmm.
So what you saw under the Trump administration is not what I experienced in 15 years at the Bureau.
Do you think, here's the big one for you, do you believe that the FBI has become so politicized that it has lost its legitimacy and can be trusted by the American people?
I believe there's specific incidents where the FBI has been politicized. I believe FBI run-of-the-mill analysts and agents are very trustworthy and the people you want to be doing this job. And I'm not even an FBI lifer. I had a whole nother life before the FBI.
Right. The NSA is tapping your phone. Yeah. Ted, he must be riding his bike at the time. Right? Yeah. But so the we know that the FBI has been politicized before. We know that they spied on Martin Luther King Jr. We know that they collected tapes on him. We knew what J. Edgar Hoover was doing and wanting to be able to continue to have funding in the FBI. So we know that it can be politicized. We know that it was politicized against Trump and Carter Page so that they could continue to spy. They kept going back and asking for warrants, right?
Right. Have you asked yourself why it's been politicized?
You tell me.
It's been politicized because of the way the FBI is organized under the Justice Department and appointed and works for a politically appointed cabinet secretary.
Yes.
The FBI is not a standalone agency as the CIA is.
Right.
So that's why it's been politicized and can go either way. Now, Hoover's way before my time.
Right. Okay.
But Hoover's a whole other thing. But in recent times, that's why. And the FBI has to work with the Justice Department, which also work with the U.S. attorneys who also report to the Justice Department. So they also are politicized by those appointees, be they Republican or Democrat.
Right, exactly. And that's what I don't get. So Merrick Garland gets appointed. So Merrick Garland's going to be taking his orders from the Biden administration. So when Merrick Garland and the FBI decide that they want to go to some guy's house because he might have violated the idea that you can't block a sidewalk for a Planned Parenthood, he's out there protesting. He pushes a man who is yelling at his son. And then 3 months later, it doesn't go to court. But then a year later, 21 or 24 FBI agents show up at this guy's house at 6:30 in the morning with large guns and take that guy in front of his family and take him down and then have him charged with this, even though he wasn't charged in a Pennsylvania or Philadelphia court. It's the intimidation of the use of the FBI to intimidate American citizens violating their First and Fourth Amendment. And I can show you proof after proof after this. I'm sure there's lots of great guys in the FBI, Ted, but like you got to admit, they've got some real black eyes and some stink that hangs on them.
Disagree with the fact that there have been specific instances that have been like not only out of the normal, but at least I will need those.
Ted, are you riding your bike while you're talking to us? You keep moving around. We keep losing every other word.
No. I will just say, yes. I'll stay right here. I'm not
okay.
riding my
don't
bike.
Move, don't move.
I'll tell you, I'm not moving.
Who's on his phone?
Wow. Instances.
Yes. Ted, here's what we're going to do. We're going to hang up. We're going to call you back. I do want to talk to you about this. So Joe's going to get a better connection with you. We're going to get you at 4:30, but I'll take care of the rest of the news. We're going to get a better connection. You do that, get him on a landline or something. Because I do want to, Ted,
yeah.
who, by the way, was working with the CIA and the FBI, U.S. intelligence officer. He heard my little rant yesterday about what they're doing with 702. I think it's a violation. Less constitutional rights for us. Bigger, powerful government to be able to go after us and spy on us. We had seen what they did with Trump. And then that's and they were so afraid of the democracy. We're saving democracy. You know, Trump's going to be horrible and violate all of your rights. Well, it's happening. He can take a page out of the Biden administration.
It sounds
and
like
Obama as well. Yeah,
it sounds like Ted's basically saying that the benefits outweigh the recent abuses. And he acknowledged that there have been some abuses.
Right. So if there's some abuses, then why not eliminate that? Why would you give them more power and allow them to even have a bigger budget? Who's to oversee them? That's my problem. And we know that they spy, and then it's like, oh, listen, it's okay. It's the same thing during COVID. Listen, you have to wear this mask. You got to take this jab because it's to protect all of us. So we'll give up some of our rights so that we can be protected as a country.
So do you believe it should exist
with different oversight as opposed to being abolished altogether? I mean,
prove to me that it's effective, that you're actually doing something with it. You're breaking stuff up, not how the FBI does. They go to some guy who's got autism. He's some homeless guy living in Florida. And they say, hey, listen, you want to bomb someplace? He goes, I guess so. And right. then they set them all up. There's example after example in
that.
Order for the FBI to be able to, you know, ask for more money. Oh, look at this. We stopped this and we stopped that. And there's even the text messages that were in discovery that the one FBI guy in charge said, hey, listen, let's make this thing look like the end of some movie or something. We go in there, let's rush in and get this guy to make a big deal about it so that we can, you know, go and ask for more money. Oh, look at all the things we're breaking up. No, you're entrapping a bunch of, you know, poor guys that don't have any money. They don't have many brains. And you're
some of them had mental disabilities.
Right. They gave them the guns and told them, here's what your plan is and here's what you do. And then the guy comes to show up and they go and grab him. It's like, all right, we'll get Ted back on. We'll get him at 4:30. All right, before we had some funky phone connection there, we were talking with Ted, a former U.S. intelligence officer with the CIA and the FBI. He had listened to the show yesterday while riding his bike, and he wanted to call in. So, Ted, we got interrupted by bad cell service. Best we had a better connection. So we had, and people have already heard what we were talking about with FISA. Let me ask you this. This is something that I'd seen that as they extend this, they want to be able, the charge is that the federal government could now, they added this word custodian, that anybody that has access to any sort of collection of data through any sort of wire, that the government can then, you know, kind of conscript this person to go get that data. And this is somebody who didn't give their name to Matt Taibbi. He was calling about it. The guy says the way the definition is written, that could be anyone who could have access to electronic communications. That could include the cable guy, could include a plumber, electrician, anyone who has physical access to a wire, a cable box, or Wi-Fi, or a phone or computer, that the United States government would say, go in there, get this stuff, and don't tell anybody you're getting this stuff, but gather this data for us. Is that
I only know what I've read about the new FISA bill, but that seems pretty much in line with how FISA already works, because you realize once a FISA order is in place, we can do what we want with that foreign person's data. So if that includes talking to the cable guy and say, hey, what channels is he looking at? Uh-huh. Or does he play Game Boy? Or does he do Xbox on live, because Xbox is a great way to communicate overseas that's not tracked. So these actually make some sense to me.
Okay.
And, you know, Sherry, who's a dear, by the way.
She is a dear.
Thank you, Tim.
she was, however, wrong about, oh, we'd send an FBI agent in there or a CIA officer. No, we wouldn't. We work with U.S. citizens all the time, and they really help our mission. And it's not in a bad way. But it's the same. A cable record might be the same as a phone record, or it might be the same as a bank record or a cell record. These are all things that sort of put the pieces of the puzzle together. And when they're directed at foreign nationals, it's a big deal. But John, you sort of missed out here.
Uh-oh.
You didn't ask me about domestic terrorism.
Oh, wow. Okay. Hey, well, what about domestic terrorism? And what is a terrorist?
I'm throwing you a bone because I realize that you've agreed that FISA is important, and we're going to move on here.
I see that trick. No, yeah, I don't. Listen, I wouldn't have a problem if they would let the FISA court give a warrant, explain, you go back to the court, this is what we need, we want the warrant, not just go look wherever you want. But go ahead. All right, domestic terrorists, how are they protecting us?
There's two types of terrorism in the U.S., mm-hmm. as the USIC, United States Intelligence Community, has agreed. So there's terrorists that are influenced by radical elements overseas.
Yes.
So that would be your ISIS, your Al-Qaeda, terrorists that live in the U.S. So, and then there's domestic terrorists. Mm-hmm. And so if you remember, the FBI said, I believe, after January 7th, the largest threat facing America is domestic terrorism. That is incorrect. And when we looked at domestic terrorists, they're white guys who like to play with guns and smoke dope and or do minor criminal activity and play in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
That's the domestic terrorism threat. So this is if you really want like controversy or where the American people have been misled, it's the fact that there is really no domestic terrorism threat.
Oh.
Hmm. Oh, no, not at all. I mean, look at the January 7 people. They're a bunch of yahoos. I mean, my God, the guy was wearing horns. Like, so that's really, and unfortunately, some people have gotten, like, FBI has done a bunch of stuff with domestic terrorism as far as assigning agents to go talk to. Well, you were within 3 miles of the mall on January 7th. Well, yeah, I was at the National Art Gallery. So that kind of thing is a bad misuse. That is, if you really want to focus on misuse of government time, that's something you should.
Well,
talk
not
about.
Just misuse. So this is the you're politicizing
politicization,
the, right?
Yeah.
Of the FBI to go after a certain set of people that they don't like, and it's quote unquote the MAGA people, the people that have guns, that be the Constitution. It's Catholics. It's those people. They're all racist. They get over in that group, and we're going to get over there, and we're going to intimidate them. We're going to show up at their house because they've said something on the internet or they've posted something. We have our attorney general, Bob Ferguson, wants to be your governor. He wanted to set up something as well to be able to gather people's information that he felt were going to somehow become radicalized as domestic terrorists.
That's a hard one. And truthfully, though, I've been retired 5 years, and I never saw that. That all seemed to come in under the Biden administration.
Well, let me ask you something. For somebody who's worked on the deep inside, this is your prediction, and it won't hold you to it. So as a guy, and how long did you work in the U.S. intelligence? How long were you there for, CIA?
21 years.
Okay.
21 years.
Worst case scenario, what happens to the United States if Donald Trump wins? What do you think happens that night?
Oh, gosh, that is like the most question. So what I tell my friends down here who are generally liberal is that Trump, I believe, is a bad choice for America. And Biden is a bad choice for the world.
Hmm.
So you look at what's happened since Biden's been elected, and we have the world in chaos. And this is the most dangerous time that you and I have lived in. I can't believe that you're younger than me. So maybe Cuban Missile Crisis counts, but this is a very dangerous time. And that's because of the Biden administration. So regardless of the blips that'll be around with a Trump inauguration, It'll be like Chicago in 68, that kind of thing, I think.
Okay. Sherry has a chance to ask. Sherry's a sweetheart. No, really, question for you. Hang on.
Okay. That would be a deer.
Yes, a deer. D-E-A-R, by the way.
Okay, good. Thank you. So, Ted, as far as this thing with Trump, and you think that maybe there might be some unrest following the election, why do you think, though, that Trump is a better president optically for the world than Biden?
It's pretty easy to look at that we have so under the Biden administration, we've created a power vacuum in the world. Our withdrawal from Afghanistan was embarrassing and showed a real weakness of decision making, strategic or tactical. And our enemies, and we do have enemies, looked at that and said, hey, maybe I could invade Ukraine. Hey, maybe I could threaten Taiwan. Hey, maybe I could attack Gaza. This is all a result of this power vacuum that's been recently created.
Well, listen, I appreciate your wisdom and your experience on this matter. No, honestly, don't laugh. And it's nice to know you're out there listening. And
thank you.
Anytime we come up with something, you're like, you've got Joe's personal number now, okay?
Oh, boy.
I saved it in my contact.
Oh, boy. Look out. All right. Thank you.
Take care, you guys.
All right. There's Ted Turner. Ted, who worked with the U.S. intelligence and CIA and the FBI. Taking calls west of the Mississippi. Dr. Sherry Ellicker joins us next to talk a little bit about having three nipples. And what does that mean? Is she an alien? find out. Muggy's Auto Service. 16 locations, take your car. Why is this so slow? This is, when we rehearsed this, it was much faster. Sherry, I'm sorry. 54 years. Muggy's Auto Service. Oh, Andrew, this isn't going to work. That's not going to work. I'm sorry. Muggy's. Yeah, it's Muggy's Auto Service Center. I got 16 locations, 54 years since Muggy's Auto Service Center. All right. Sorry about that. Gee whiz. Sherry, I'm so sorry you get a chance to talk to Ted Turner. He did call you a deer, but you didn't get a question. I was so busy ranting and raving with my tin hat on.
Well, I mean, that's what you do.
Well, the Belgian man. Yeah, fine dandy. Here's where we have to get to, because I do want to ask you, well, say this one, but we went so long on all the other ones. The 6 second kiss. Did you follow along in that story? The Gottman doctors and the 6 second kiss and why you're supposed to have a 6 second kiss?
Yeah, they're making a lot of claims about that, which I find a little hard to believe.
Oh, boy.
But I think we've got audio on it, yeah, so I'll let them explain.
Men who kiss their wives goodbye when they leave for work live 4 years longer than men who don't. And that's a perfunctory kiss. But the 6 second kiss, which we recommend, has much more potential than that pick on the cheek.
What is the 6 second kiss? And not five or four.
Because oxytocin gets secreted. With a 20 second hug or a 6 second kiss, you're both secreting oxytocin. And that creates a sense of psychological safety and connection.
And bonding.
And bonding.
And bonding. Okay, go ahead. Poop all over the doctors.
No, I know. I've never heard of that before. They say that you live 4 years longer if you just kiss somebody goodbye.
For 6 seconds.
But that's just a peck. Oh. That you can live 4 years longer if you can just give somebody a peck on the cheek before you leave, or husbands can. But if that were true, don't you think everybody would be kissing a lot?
Well, maybe not everybody's listening to the show right now, and they don't know that groundbreaking research that we found on Instagram from like 6 years ago. Maybe that's
right.
It's like a psychological reason to live. You got something to come home to, you know. You got to,
there's causation. It would probably be the person is connected. They've got someone loving and caring for them, and maybe they're also more attentive to the person's medical needs, or they're checking in on them. But if you're lonely, you don't have anybody. You know, people die of isolation. But Sherry, 6 seconds can be a long time if you're not really exactly getting along with that other person, right?
Well,
like,
yeah,
let's say I'm going to kiss you. You ready?
Okay. Here we go. Yeah. Okay. Ready?
Okay. Wow,
I pulled away
time.
At three.
I know. I'm sorry. What, you have for
I
breakfast?
I forgot to count.
Wow.
Sorry. Hang on. I wasn't 6 seconds.
You all right?
Yeah. I think it has to do with the fact that if you have somebody in your life that you want to kiss goodbye, or that you want to hug for 20 seconds, you are going to live longer because you're more content.
Yes.
It has nothing to do with the act of kissing.
Okay, but the act of kissing is the outward sign. It's the action. You're putting all of those feelings into some type of action. That's it. Right.
Unless you really believe this is some sort of medical science and you're just kissing somebody for 6 seconds because you think it's going to, you know.
Right. And the other person doesn't want you to live 4 years longer, so they're just running around the house.
Yeah,
get some of this. All right. Joe said he had something sweet about something I did, but you want to save that?
Well, okay, I'll make it real quick.
Yeah, you have to, because Nate's in there.
You make assumptions about other people's relationship. Uh-huh. Right? Just from afar, you see them on social media, whatever. When you came home from New York and Nick came back from Utah and you guys saw each other for the first time in a week or something in the studio right in front of me. And this wasn't like get a room or anything. it was so clear how in love you guys are. It's nice to know that.
Oh, that's sweet. Yeah. Well, thank you. I think she was looking at Nate, to be honest with you. She could see him in there.